Heidelberg Catechism,
Lord's Day 50. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50 reads, which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. You may have noticed in reading Lord's Day 50, beloved, that it rightly states that the fourth petition is a prayer especially regarding the body. And the order of the fourth petition, and that it comes after, obviously, the first three, gives us some helpful points for self-examination, because there is a logical order and an order of importance. We start, hallowed be thy name, the first petition, which means that for us, the glory of the triune God is of greater significance than our own bodies. Give us this day our daily bread. That's number four. Number one is, and this is the joy of the new nature in us, hallowed be thy name. And then some ways down, give us each day our daily bread. Likewise, thy kingdom come means that God's rule over us is a higher concern than, let's say, the unruliness of parts of our body over which we may lose control with disease or age. That rule of God more important than our rule over our bodies when we're sick or aged. That's humbling. Thy will be done means that's number one for us, the doing of God's will, and not the filling of my belly. That comes down the priorities of the child of God. The order is, hallowed be thy name, number one. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and only then do we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the logic of the Lord's Prayer is this: give us this day our daily bread, not merely because it's often tasty and we enjoy a good meal, or because we want physical strength, because there are things we like to do, but give us this day our daily bread, so that we may do thy will with the energy that God gives us through our food and drink, so that thy kingdom may come in us, and the name of God is hallowed. I say again, that's very deep, and that's not where we are naturally. And we have to fight against our own evil natures and our earthly mindedness. And so when we pray the fourth petition, we're not only saying, give me food and all things necessary for the body. We are praying for that. We're praying for that subordinate to other things, as I just explained. But even when we're praying, give me food and all things necessary for the body, even then we remember what we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, that man doth not live by bread alone. That's the way dogs are, and pigs, and horses. But man lives by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God, as Jesus reminded the devil in his temptation, first temptation in the wilderness. Tonight, let's consider what it means to pray the fourth petition. What it means to pray the fourth petition. and what it means to pray the fourth petition first for different parties, because it always means essentially the same thing, but according to our circumstances, there are some variations, and what it means to pray the fourth petition not only for different parties, but with blessed results. God answers prayers, the fourth petition too. Let's begin then with this question. What does it mean for a young person to pray the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean for a young person? It seems today we're majoring on young persons. We dealt with it a fair bit in Daniel 1. Well, it includes, and I'll explain why, but it includes praying for diligence in their education. Those who pray this prayer rightly and mean it from their heart, and God's people who are young can mean a prayer just as easily, if not more, than adults, they're praying that God, amongst other things, would give them diligence in their education so that they listen and learn and take good notes in class, including in catechism when you get a little bit older. That you will revise for your tests at school and in catechism. Not that I have a whole lot of complaints here. I want to make that clear too for the uninitiated in our midst. And that you will try hard in your exams. And why is that involved in the fourth petition? Because, I'll explain, that the grades which you get, somehow or other, in various ways, are connected with qualifications for jobs, sometimes formal qualifications. The catechism results don't actually help towards that. In studying at school, you learn skills which can be useful, and some of which are even necessary, for a job. And whatever the grades or the skills that you specifically learn in a classroom do or don't do for you, it's certainly the case that in learning to put effort into things, including studying and doing your schoolwork, you develop a work rate so that you're not lazy, so that you're able to put some gusto into what you do, so that somebody somewhere out there in the world will not just want you for a husband or a wife, if that's God's will for you, but will think it's worth my money in this business to pay you living wages. And this is the fourth commandment. You need a job, ordinarily, to pay for your daily bread. It's all connected. We have one life in this world, and God is Lord over it all. Praying the fourth petition for a young person also includes praying for God's guidance and direction. I've made that connection between our studies and a job and the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread, which ordinarily comes through earning. And we're asking here for guidance too, that the Lord would help us to pick certain subjects to study for your GCSEs or A-levels or your degree. What level we should go to, that in the kingdom of heaven there's no disgrace if people have skills in certain areas and not in academia. God needs people in all spheres of life. He is a Catholic Church. None is better than the other. The only fault in the kingdom of heaven is sin, not what abilities a person may have or not have. We pray the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, with the view of earning our daily bread. God guides us as we pray. Should I leave school when I'm at 16 or when I'm at 18? Should I go to university? Should I stay for postgraduate? Should I do vocational training? God directs us all the way through for our job. He's with us. He holds our hands and he guides and opens doors and shuts others. And when we graduate from whatever level, then we work. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and then rest on the seventh day, which in the New Testament is the day of rest, is the first day of the week, that in that rest in Jesus, then we work. Of course, when we're praying for education and training that leads us up to a job, of course, we're developing physically to do harder, more strenuous labor. We are also praying for a lawful vocation. We're concerned that our education doesn't require us to sin. We're back in Daniel 1 again with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know that there are pitfalls even for our children in education. And they need to be careful too, and we need to help and encourage them. And we know that the lawful vocation rules out certain types of jobs. And jobs which would otherwise be lawful, but they might require us to work on the Lord's Day, and so break the fourth commandment. You know the distinction, works of necessity and mercy are lawful. And you know too that in praying for your daily bread, you're building up a Christian conscience so that you're not going to accept a job which requires you to work on the Lord's Day, and you're not going to be bullied by your employer when you're in a job to do that, because you can't remain a member of the Christian church when you're walking in disobedience. And you know too that as this world becomes more pagan, and paganism has no time for one day in seven that's holy and set apart for God and his worship, it becomes more difficult. And there are for many more sacrifices that need or will need to be made. If we move from those who are younger to the elderly or the disabled or those who are long-term sick, well, obviously such people are not going to be praying the fourth petition with respect to themselves now with regard to their education. Although, I mean, there's such a thing as lifetime learning, and by all means read and you can study things, but I mean more formal education. And they're not going to be in a position to do a job, certainly not full-time, maybe something part-time, so they're not going to be earning their daily bread. But in praying the fourth petition, with respect now to themselves, and that's certainly included, answer 125 says, "Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." That's pretty broad. All things necessary for the body. Elderly people, people in pain, people who are sick, they're asking for God's help to address the limitations, maybe even the pain, maybe the decline, bodily decline that comes, or at the very least, asking for God's grace to help them cope with these difficult things in life. In Psalm 41, the psalmist said, "The Lord will strengthen me upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." And there the idea is that the Lord, for those who care for others when they are sick, the Lord will come to those who are faithful and who are themselves laid low, and the Lord will strengthen them on the bed of sickness, maybe physically, certainly spiritually, and it's as if the Lord is there and he makes their bed for them because he's with them, caring for them. "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, help me with all things necessary for the body. Be with me. That's what we're praying for too in the fourth petition. The types of saints we're talking about here, when they pray for daily bread and daily needs in general, those are, of course, paid for, depending on the circumstances, by your pension, maybe by your savings, and maybe even by the diaconate, so that you are called by Jesus Christ to ask for help if you need it. And you're not to be ashamed either. If you did something stupid and wasted a whole lot of money, you can be ashamed of doing that stupid thing, but don't be ashamed of asking for help. That's what the church is there for. and the mercies of Christ come out to the needy. In general, we learn that it is always God who provides. He uses means. I've mentioned a few of them. But he governs and uses the means. And it is the duty of the Christian to believe and to see the hand of God working through the ways that he has appointed, because he's the ruler over all things for the good of his people. And this is what we acknowledge in the fourth petition when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And if this wasn't the case, one would be forced to ask, what in all the world was the Lord Jesus doing when he was asked, "Lord, teach us to pray," and then turned round and gave us such a useless petition? "Give us this day our daily bread," as if it isn't really God who gives us our daily bread. All things necessary for the body. And surely all things necessary for the body are all the things that we have. The things in this present age, in this earthly creation that God gives to us. Moving from the young to those who are limited and ordinarily the older ones, what does it mean, more specifically in this case, for someone who is a mother and a homemaker who is praying the fourth petition, say with small children? She may not be earning the daily bread for the household, but she's probably making the daily bread for the household. Daily bread here, you understand, referring to all things necessary for the body, and now particularly the stomach. "Such a godly woman eateth not the bread of idleness," to quote Proverbs 31, "and she eats her daily bread with her family after their devotions when they pray," in essence, though not always in words, "Give us this day our daily bread." It shapes our thinking in this earth. We could say a lot more about what it means for various parties to pray the fourth petition. As I said earlier, essentially it's the same for everybody. There are some slight differences. We mentioned young people in education or training, the elderly or disabled, mothers in the home. Other parties could be specified, but it's not necessary because you're on your toes, you're alert, you can work it out for yourself. But we notice too, in general also, that the fourth petition is not, "Give me this day my daily bread." The fourth petition is, "Give us this day our daily bread." We start with us, our own households. "Give us this day, each day, trusting in thee, our daily bread, for my friends and brethren's sake," to echo the psalmist in the church, including those who are struggling with respect to their bodies, including through the diaconate, which I, says the Christian, am pleased to support by my offerings. "Give us this day our daily bread" widens out even to the whole of Christ's Catholic or universal church. Anyone who truly prays "Our Father, which art in heaven," is embraced in the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." And if we move now to the second and final point of this sermon, the blessed results of praying this petition, what does it mean in terms of effect, result? The first and most obvious and direct result of the believer praying the fourth petition is that God gives us our daily bread. Of course. Our Heavenly Father provides us with all things necessary for the body, to echo Lord's Day 50. Food and drink, clothing, homes and furniture. and all that in accordance with his own sovereign will for each of us. In our day, and for us, God answers this prayer, at least for many, with giving us not only necessities but luxuries, so that we have things that even Nebuchadnezzar himself would have been amazed at. But even in his prosperity, earthly prosperity now, the Christian truly confesses, God is my master, not mammon. Jehovah is my God, not my belly. And that sort of language is used in Philippians 3 regarding the false teachers, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, who mind earthly things. And God, of course, has been answering the fourth petition since the very beginnings of his church. Though even the children understand that the fourth petition and the Lord's Prayer wasn't written down until the first century AD after our Lord spoke it to his disciples. But in essence, God was forever answering the fourth petition long before the completion of the New Testament scriptures. We could go back to the patriarch Jacob, whom God renamed Israel. He left his parents in Beersheba, in the very south of the Promised Land. And he headed off to Paddan Aram to flee from his murderous brother, whom he'd wronged, because Esau wanted to kill him, and to go in search of a wife. He went with the clothes on his back and a staff, and probably little else. We know that he used a stone for a pillow in Bethel. That's pretty meager provisions. And in that vision of the ladder stretching between heaven and earth, God spoke these words to Father Jacob, Father Israel. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's a promise. I will provide you with your daily bread, and I will shelter and protect you, going out and returning to the land of promise. And so Jacob, trusting in that word of God, vowed a vow. If God will be with me, as he has said, and will keep me in this way that I go, as he has said, and will give me bread to eat every day, which makes it daily bread, and raiment to put on, all things necessary for the body, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Moving from the individual Israel, and this little snapshot of him in Genesis 28, we skip forward a couple of hundred years to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8, God is providing them with daily bread. He suffered thee to hunger, verse 3 says, and then he fed thee with manna, which you had never heard tell of, and nor had your ancestors. In order to make you know that man doesn't live by bread alone, he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then, all things necessary for the body is expanded. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, nor did thy foot swell these 40 years. That is, God miraculously gave them sandals and clothes through the 40 years wilderness wanderings. Your raiment waxed not old upon you. Your feet didn't swell. That is, when the children's feet grew and got bigger and bigger as they do, the shoes enlarged with them.
God has provided for them miraculously. They had all sorts of daily miracles, not just the manna. But they couldn't see God. Their hearts were hardened in unbelief.
Verses 15 and 16 of Deuteronomy 8 expand the picture. God led them through a great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, pretty nasty territory, and drought, where there was no water. And so God brought forth water out of a flinty rock, and he fed thee in the wilderness with manna, daily bread, which neither you nor your fathers knew, in order to humble thee and test thee and prove thee, to do thee good in the latter end. And that nation of Israel, from the perspective of Deuteronomy, was then going to go into the promised land. And so God would provide for them once they stopped being a nomadic herdsman type people moving for 40 years into farming this promised land. Here's how God would give them daily bread. Verses 7 through 9. The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. That was like the new heavens and the new earth, the people who'd been going around in circles for 40 years in the desert. And with all this water, the land was productive, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey. You will eat bread without scarceness. And besides all that, there are metals lying easy to hand to mine and process. And God provides for the Israel of God, not just the individual father Jacob, and Israel in the wilderness, Israel the promised land. He provides for the Israel of God in the New Testament age 2. Daily bread. Embracing in that promise each and every one of his children. It's a promise. And his goodness towards us in Jesus Christ. And God is faithful and has been faithful. So that I can say without fear of contradiction that anyone here, unless they're totally spiritually demented, will testify that God has provided for me not just the last few days, but every year and every decade. He's been faithful, and I have been provided with my daily bread. And I receive that personally as a sign of God's good favor towards me in Jesus Christ. And I don't forget about it, says the Christian, and I don't take it for granted. And just as I'm saying that, you recognize that the skeptic will say, and probably your own flesh did too, come on now, we're in the Western world here, and everybody pretty much gets food and shelter unless you're, you know, a drug addict sleeping out rough under some railway bridge or something like that. Whether you pray to Jesus or not. And here we respond that it is indeed true that God puts bread in the hands of practically everybody, by his providence, still God, by his providence. But the blessing that comes from God's hands only comes with bread given to his people in Jesus Christ. And the bread which comes to the impenitent wicked comes only in God's promise and not in his grace, because it actually comes in his providence to them with his wrath. It's like the sauce that's sprinkled on the top of it, or poured perhaps better. And that's not just me saying that. This is apostolic Christianity according to Romans 11 verse 9, which is a quotation from Psalm 69. David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Now you understand that it isn't merely referring to a table. Let this table, made out of wood, let that table be a snare to them. What?
a trap to them, a stumbling block. What, so that people trip over the table or something? That's daft. Nobody understands it to mean that. It means what is on the table. Just as we say someone spread a table, or what's on the table, or your wife puts a good meal on the table, that sort of thing. Food and drink, nourishing food and drink. For the ungodly, that food is on their table. There's no doubt about it. And it came in God's providence. And the passage tells us that the table, and what's on that table, is referred to in four different words or sayings. Let their table, this is the ungodly wicked, according to the verses before and afterwards, it's really clear. Let their table be made, one, a snare, two, a trap, four, no, that comes three next, three, a stumbling block, and four, a recompense. And that's quite a list. And there's one very obvious thing missing from that list. He doesn't pray, let their table be made a blessing. He's praying, let their table be accursed with cursed food and drink. So it's a snare and a trap. Something used to catch people in the wrath and justice of God. A stumbling block, so that people will fall in their sins, and a recompense, so that God actually punishes them for their sins in giving them the food, so that it doesn't come with love, but in loathing. But it is not so for those who pray the fourth petition. By that I mean those who really and truly pray the fourth petition, that is, who address God from the heart as our Father, which art in heaven, a Father for Jesus Christ's sake, a Father as those who are adopted into the family of God in the Lord Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, through the sacrificial death of the incarnate Son, who bore the curse, of course, a curse which would otherwise have been on me, says the Christian, and on my table, and in my house, to widen it out to Proverbs 3, verse 33's teaching. So that in God's providence, he blesses me, and he blesses me in his providence with the food and drink that is on my table for Jesus' sake. So that blessing and loving kindness and tender mercy from God come with my meal to me. So that I never eat just food. I always, with my food, says the Christian by faith, taste and see that God is good. Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition? Well, it's obvious. It's give us this day our daily bread. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this, that neither our care nor industry, that's the efforts that we put into our work, and even the stress, for want of a better word, that we may feel at times, and the painstaking efforts, nor even thy gifts, these things cannot profit us without thy blessing. They cannot profit the believer, us, without thy blessing. Never mind the unbelievers. And so there is the gifts, distinguishable and separable from the blessing. So the believer gets the gifts, and the gifts don't even profit us without the blessing. The unbeliever, he gets the gifts, the good things that God gives, but he doesn't get the blessing. He gets the snare and the curse and the trap and the stumbling block and the recompense. Going further, the blessed results of truly praying the fourth petition are not only that we receive from God's hand and according to his will what we ask for, and that we receive it with his blessing, the two first things, but we also, and thereby, recognize
and praise him as the giver of every good and perfect gift, to quote James 1. Returning to answer 125 in our catechism, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased, one, to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. The teaching of the Word of God crops up in various places in our three forms of unity, is that God himself is the overflowing fountain of all good. Gushing up from within the being of God is all sorts of life and goodness. And God is that as a fountain of life and goodness to us, overflowing in our Lord Jesus Christ, the El Shaddai, the generous, liberal, rich God. And Psalm 145 talks to us about the open hand of God, whereby he provides for all living creatures. The eyes of all wait upon thee, birds, fish, animals, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And God does that in his grace, for which we are thankful, to us in Jesus Christ. So that in the fourth petition, and as we pray it, we instinctively acknowledge this, and we thank him for it, and we praise him. Each day, he's giving us our daily bread, and we're worshipping him. So that we don't only praise him, pray to him, rather, daily, for daily bread, but we also worship him daily as the one who gives us that daily bread. Fourthly, and finally, another blessed result of praying the fourth petition is that it strengthens us in the true object of our faith. And by object of faith, I mean that to which faith is directed. The very end of Lord's Day 50 teaches us that give us this day our daily bread, that prayer, enables us to, quote, withdraw our trust from all creatures, don't direct your faith there, and positively place it alone in thee. So when it comes to the daily bread, that is all things necessary for the body, that is all the things of this earthly world, we do not trust in the economy. Not making any prognostications or any comments about the economy, good or bad. It's a universally true statement. We don't trust in the civil government. My point isn't that the civil government, the minute's bad or good, it's a general statement. We don't trust in the fact that maybe I have skills, or maybe I don't have skills. Maybe I have qualifications, or maybe they're middling. Maybe I can work hard, and maybe I can't. Maybe I'm in good health, and maybe I'm not. And I'm not trusting in my friends or family either, and I'm not even trusting, as an object of faith, in the church. The church isn't the object of your faith. The living triune God is. He's the one we trust in alone, says the Christian, taught by the Word, moved by the Spirit. And I trust in him not only for all the things necessary for my soul, but I'm not too spiritual, so to speak, but that I also, says the child of God, trust in him for all things necessary for the body. I don't trust him with half of my being, but body and soul belonging to my faithful Savior. I pray the fourth petition, especially with respect to earthly needs. So the Christian, because it always comes back to faith, confesses in the fourth petition that I'm trusting in the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world as well as for the next, for earthly things as well as for heavenly things, for time as well as eternity. In short, the Christian says, I'm trusting God for everything. And that's the Christian position, and the only position that gives rest for the believer's weary soul. And if we don't pray this fourth petition and pour out our heart before God, and we can all feel this and acknowledge times where we especially weren't doing this, we feel anxiety over the future. We're worrying about what might be around the corner, and we're in perplexity about this or that that just might happen. Listen to these comforting words from the prophet Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The role of faith, therefore, and the fourth petition is getting at this, is that we must, I don't particularly like the language, but you know what I mean, we must let God be God. That is, he is God. And faith comes and says, God is God in my heart and in my life. So he's God over my body as well as over my soul. He's God of my money and my job and my education and my future. And since God is God, he does the work of God. He takes care of me and my future. And you know what? He does a very good job. He's not botching it. He's not messing around. He's doing a great job. And what happens is, with our unbelief, we think, well, you know, really, he's not doing a good job. We come in with our folly and say, elbowing the Lord, as it were, out of the way, let me take care of it. You're not doing a good enough job. Let me think about my future and my education, and I'll get all worried about it. I can do a better job than you can. I know more about this. This is playing to my strengths. But we can't. And we know we can't. Especially deep down we can't. And then we particularly get all upset and anxious and tie ourselves up in knots. Listen to the simplicity of the Christian religion. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased, O Lord, to provide us with all things necessary for the body. We rest in that. And thereby we can acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. Amen. And that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw all our trust from all creatures and place it alone where it belongs, in thee. And there it is. Pray that, receive those things, and be at peace. Amen. Our Father in heaven, deepen, quicken our faith. Open our lips, that we may show forth thy praise and pour out words of the fourth petition, so that we repose and find rest in thee. Care for us and our children. Thou knowest the future and are doing a very good job. Bless us with comfort. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.